Good afternoon, everyone. You are here tuning into the Medium's Porch. I am Kathleen Bolt. I am your host for the Medium's Porch on Lilydale Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and also as we stream on Lilydale Assembly page in Lilydale Assembly Inc., the official page for Lilydale. And you can find the information about me, mediumkathleen.com. And we have a special guest today. Now, some of you that have been tuning into the program realize we are now airing on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock after the Lilydale Healing Temple services. So I would suggest that if you have the evening, go to the Healing services that are being aired at 7 o'clock, and then just sit through and you can see our podcast. Today's podcast, we have a very special guest. We have a guest medium. His name is David. And David, I forgot to ask you how to pronounce your last name. Is it Scheisser?
It's actually Scheisser, but well done, Kathleen.
Oh, beautiful. Forgive me for
it's
not
like
asking.
Like the shears and the sigh, you see. I like,
well, like this is. Love it. Love it, love it. Great. Well, I wanted to bring David on today. David is a healing medium. And there's been a lot of talk by me on the podcast about how mediumship is about healing. So David is very expert at that. That is his focus and his purpose. He is a certificate and diploma holder of the Spiritualist National Union. And he's an appointed tutor at the Arthur Findlay College. We can find him demonstrating mediumship, teaching mediumship, and speaking on healing mediumship internationally, for which he feels very blessed, serving in highly respected places and with other great colleagues. He is an outstanding communicator, I've learned. Reverend Susan Cahill from Sparta wrote a beautiful testimonial about that. She is from New Jersey, and Mary L. says that you are a brilliant, sensitive tutor. Have you read your testimonials lately, David? Fantastic words, a tender heart and a dear man. I would like to introduce you to David Scheisser.
That's wonderful.
Oh,
yeah,
forgive me. I am
no,
so
Kathleen, absolutely no problem. Hey, I understand that so well because, as you know, with my surname, hello, everybody, my surname is from Switzerland. So I'm not originally English. So my mother tongue is German. And therefore, I know exactly the struggles of languages and pronunciations. It's not easy. So thank you so much for having me, Kathleen.
You're welcome.
Really an honor. Really an honor. And you know, when you said, and it's really because when you mentioned Lilydale is dear to my heart. I have such fond memories. And when you said Healing Dale, which is for me is great because Barbara Sanson allowed me to be one of their healers during some of the summers. So I know the healing temple and it's beautiful. So people go to the healing. If you can go into this beautiful temple, you should go and then listen to this podcast definitely later. So wonderful to be here.
Yeah, you're quite aware of the healing at a distance and how powerful that can be.
Well, as you said, you said I'm a healing medium, and I do actually class myself as a healing medium, doing different mediumistic faculties to prove that. So what I am at my core is healing, and when I look at mediumship with all its phenomena that are within it, what would they be without the purpose of healing, comfort and hope? So in a way, I feel that every medium should actually be aware or be made aware that what they do together with the world of spirit has the purpose of healing. That's me. Yeah, absolutely.
And so that aspect, is that the aspect that calls you back again and again and again to mediumship? And if it is, what else also pulls you back to mediumship?
Well, I believe it was always that the aspect that pulled me into mediumship, because when I look back into my mediumistic pathway started a little bit by accident in 2002, yeah, where a friend of mine, she just dragged me to the Arthur Findlay College, and I didn't really have a clue about the Arthur Findlay College. I might have sat a couple of times in a circle, yes, but I was nowhere good enough or able to class myself being a medium or having a clue about or an idea about mediumship, you see. So she just dragged me to this week, which was a trance week at the Arthur Findlay College in Essex, England. And I just loved it. So that was trance. And now I already start with my story. Sorry, Kathleen, if I take...
Please do.
If I go ahead a bit too quickly, you just stop me. Which was really funny and it makes me laugh. So imagine you being a Swiss person who speaks fluently German, but very badly English. So my vocabulary was yes, no, I don't know. The spoken word, very, very, very bad. My passive knowledge of the language was better, so I could understand what they wanted, but I couldn't really answer them properly. And when you then think that I went on to a trans speaking week, and you sit there and you should start speaking in English because nobody would understand you, because at that time when I started, the majority was English that were within those courses. Today is a bit different. The ratio has changed to foreigners than to natives. But back then it was like foreigners were on that course a rarity. So I sat there and I was like thinking, how do I do this? Because when we think of mediumship, you should be relaxed. You shouldn't think. You shouldn't use your rational, intelligent mind. And I sit there and is like, well, I have everything in German. Now I have to translate that, which needs the logical, intellectual mind to think about. And I was really, I tell you, Kathleen, I was such in a stress. My trance was not good. I was not a good medium. I would never have classed myself as a medium. I heard a lot from other people that I will never be a medium. But you know, what was so nice was I felt at home, despite the stress that I had in not being able to communicate. Within that moment of sitting and observing others and just being in this environment, I felt peaceful. And that drew me back and back again to that place that I, for me, spiritually, is my home, the Arthur Findlay College. I only went there. I know there are other places in existence, but I never knew about them because I never had that need to look or search for them. You see, I found that place. I found myself very happy within. So once a year for a decade, I went there for 1 week only. So I never went several times. I just went 1 week. I came back home. I never did anything with it. So I didn't work as a medium. But what I did, and I told you before, I'm a diploma holder in kinesiology. And that's actually now your question. What brought you into mediumship? For me, it was my personal development, the personal healing that all of a sudden led me. There are no coincidences, right? I don't even know if we have any say in our lives now. You know, I'm doubting that a little bit. but for me, it was really like something was there that helped me heal myself, and kinesiology was the path into progression, personal development, eternal progress, if we want to get that into the spiritual element and philosophy a little bit. And through that one, I found the spirit world. So it wasn't the spirit world at all that was there in the beginning. It was the healing, the personal progress, the reflection, the realization, hey, I have a life. I don't like my life. I suffer. I would like to change it, but I am not able to change it. And I needed to have help within that one. And somehow through finding this education, kinesiology, which was 3 years, yeah, then all of a sudden I ended up in mediumship.
Yeah, so it was cycles started opening up and the door got bigger, sure.
Yes, so for me, if people ask me, were you always a medium? I say, no, I wasn't. I am learned. I learned mediumship. I learned the access to the world of spirit, but I wouldn't class myself. Well, yes, I was a medium since I'm a child. That was not the case.
It's interesting how that works too, because there's different ways of understanding. So I love what you're saying about the kinesiology aspect. Perhaps there's some listeners that aren't quite sure what that is.
Right.
You can take a second just to talk about what that is exactly.
Okay. Kinesiology, there are different forms, as in every other practitioner or therapy form. But kinesiology uses the intelligence of the body to try to find out what is the problem and then also to release it. So we use muscle testing, touch for health, but people want to look into touch for health. Is a very interesting and well-known element within kinesiology or education, for example, for children, stress release, all of that. And kinesiology, what is kinesiology? Uses the muscle, the body feedback to find out where is stress and where is not. And then finding through various tools, because that could be NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, the chakras, anything actually, to try to release trauma, stress, and reprogram patterns that are a hindrance within life. And that was really, really, well, that's just a short one, but for people wanting to look into it. And the way that I learned it was, there is applied kinesiology, which means someone does something and presents the result to the patient or client. And I learned it in an educational way. So the client and myself as a kinesiologist, we walk the path together, but in the time of the client. So I'm not suggesting too much. It is the self realization process of the client, really where you want to be, and therefore you move within their lives and try to distress or change patterns, which I found really, really interesting.
So that approach is perfectly in line with how we talk about healing, right? We're not healing somebody else. We're setting the environment up, giving them the opportunity and power, helping them find their own power for that healing.
Yes. The more I'm within healing, I really agree, because in spiritualist healing, well, if we want to talk about the spiritualist healing as it is defined, from spirit, through spirit, to spirit, through the energies and forces from God. Now, people have a problem with the word of God. However you perceive this creative force of all wisdom and knowledge, that's yours to find out. But you see, for me, it was really interesting because I had such a problem with God. You know, I grew up in a system. I had to go to church because I needed my confirmation, because I wanted the gifts at the end, you know? So I had nothing to do.
You wanted the present that they gave
Well,
you.
Yes. I mean, can you imagine? I am 15 years old on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Do you really want to be sitting on that church pew? No, you don't. And I think for people who wanted to really worship, we were a real pain, because we just had to tick boxes, didn't we? We had to go 20 times to a church service and to listen and sit through. But actually what you wanted is like, I just want to sleep.
Yeah, and you know? Bringing things from the Bible and that things, yeah, that we
exactly.
Listen to our minister. Yeah.
So I had a real, real problem with God, because it didn't mean anything. It really didn't. And now with spiritualist healing, we have forces and energies from God, you see?
Right.
And I find that so interesting and so understandable how people react. Well, I don't want to use God, because we have a wrong picture of it. We were taught something completely wrong. So if this is universal power, cosmic force, I don't mind any of that. But what is so nice, because within my healing process, I also learned to have a new relationship with this word God. Mm-hmm. for me, God is not the person, the man, the one that you have to suffer and so on. I, through what you said, you know, this realization process with kinesiology, you need to have new ways of seeing or looking at things. You need to step out of yourself and say, who am I? Who do I really want to be? Or am I really okay the way I am? And if people don't like the way I am, but I love myself, then maybe you don't need to be with me. Do you know what I mean? It's really releasing. That moment when I realized, you know what? Actually, I like myself. If that's too complicated for others, well, you have choices. You don't have to be with me, do you? So you could just choose another person to be with and not telling me who I am not. Do you understand what I mean? It's like, that took me 22, no, a lifetime. Actually, it took me a lifetime to realize that. And with healing, it is really beautiful because we say it comes through the spirit, from the spirit, through the spirit, and to the spirit. So the theory is it ignites the soul strength of the person first. It is not about symptoms and people. And I had a long, long time to realize that. When you read like books, and I know you know like Silver Birch, you know, Maurice Barbanel's Guide, they're great books to read. We can't say, yes, that's of the past. We need to have new stuff. But if I read those books, they are still relevant, Kathleen. The stuff that they said, it is still relevant. People still don't know how to love. People still don't know how to live in peace with each other. People don't know how to be tolerant. You know, those books, they are still as relevant. And when I then see that the spirit world really doesn't really care in the physical body, because how long will you carry a physical body if we believe in mediumship and the philosophy of life eternal? Well, if you're lucky or unlucky, you live to 100 years of age. And I think the last 20 years with the body will be a bit of a struggle, you know? Like, we're not staying young, are we? I mean, I'm not.
Yeah.
You might, okay? But in a way, they are more interested in that the spirit of oneself is at the highest, at the purest, at the most tolerant level. So it makes absolutely sense that people who suffer physically, which is terrible, honestly, it is terrible. And I believe if spirit world can touch the body, then please, 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 let's work that almost physical mediumship is re-entering the healing faculty again. You know, when you know that someone suffers from cancer, and we knew that there is the faculty of dematerialization of cancer, we read the greatness of the past, then if it was possible then, it should be possible now. Do you know what I mean? It's like, wow, of course it should touch the body, but its depth and its philosophy of healing has actually nothing to do with the physical element. It has to do with the spiritual element, and I love that.
Yes, and what you were saying when you use the word ignite,
we
still need the intelligence of the body, right? And the cooperation of the physical form. And that's why you came to this through kinesiology, because you were very aware of the intelligence and respectful of the body and the power of the body, but then realized there was something that animated that. There was something that brought in more of that so that we had this teamwork going on and the healing could happen.
And you see, it is interesting that you say that, listening to you, and you're absolutely right. So, because sometimes I forget to reflect upon my own journey. But with kinesiology, what happened actually? What happened was I brought my attention to myself.
Ah.
I started to build a heightened awareness of me, David, the body, me, David, the emotion, me, David, the mental aspect, me, David, the spiritual. The spiritual I would never have thought of. I was 25 when I did that. it was too, this was not in my understanding, okay? Spiritual, I have to be honest about that. It would not have been in my need to talk about philosophy and stuff. Honestly, never, okay, never. But when I speak and reflect, and it's beautiful that you asked me to be on your show because it helps me to realize where I have come from. It is becoming aware of yourself, and you bring your heightened sensitivity to your presence. You know, your emanation, what you present to that world, consciously or subconsciously. And when I now look into mediumship, well, I needed to learn how to be aware of myself before I could be aware of the world of spirit. If I don't feel myself, and if I'm not clear about who I am, why on earth should I know who the spirit world is?
Ah, I like that. I understand that from a personal perspective. I call it cross training.
Right.
So I spoke about how, you know, I did art and then I did this and music. I did music, art, dance, and like all these things were, like you said, getting me aware, same as you were in that situation, of my body and the intelligence that was there, the awareness that come through that. And it was like bringing in this harmony, this beautiful chord that represents humanity and the humanness all we're capable of. And then we start leaning more into the direction of spirituality. I love that you're bringing this up, because one of the things I think that has become very important for us is the body in regard to mediumship, especially when we're going out to be aware of other people, the healing aspect, because we live in a world now where we're like pushed into our heads with the AI, right? With the AI, the digital world, the phones, this kind of thing. So when you're teaching your mediumship, do you spend time bringing in this aspect of the body and supporting other people in building their personal awareness so that their humanness can be present and distinguished from their spiritual work and their mediumship?
Well, always, because that's my problem. I'm always a bit of a therapist. I cannot deny that I'm at heart also a kinesiologist or someone who knows that everything I am struggling in life is a reflection. And this reflection, and I always teach that, your struggle will always reflect into your mediumship and vice versa. So for example, to support my belief system, okay, bringing reason and understanding into it, if you are afraid to stand in front of people in normal life, of course you will be afraid to do this with mediumship. What mediumship helps the people most of the time who would never, ever in a lifetime stand in front of people normally, helps to do that is their wish to be of service for something else. You know, they are all of a sudden making their own insufficiency or their own struggles smaller than the purpose they are actually wanting to work for. And that's why it works. But I said that this last weekend. I worked in Germany and I said, listen, people, you not only need to be trained within your mediumship faculty, you should be trained just to stand in front of people and learn how to feel comfortable to be seen. You don't need to come forward and bring the best contact or struggle. I just want them to stand there next to me and start to enjoy standing in front of people. And as soon as they have learned to be comfortable in front of people, then of course they will be comfortable to attune the world of spirit, which needs ease of mind, a state of relaxed behavior. And then that obstacle is out of the way. So I know that not everything is dependent on the spirit world that we can do to become better mediums. That's what I'm actually saying here.
So it's like we're doing our part.
Yes, we have a responsibility. If I can't, for example, Kathleen, we're talking about this holding the power, Yes. Everybody teaches holding the power. I was taught holding the power. But when I look back, was I really taught how to hold the power? What does that mean?
No instruction list, exactly.
Yes, but for a logical, intellectual mind, Kathleen, what does that mean, holding the power? Do I have holding the power in taking a breath and don't breathe? Or what does that mean, you know? And actually holding the power means you are going into a focus and concentration. Well, if I am very weak within my own personal faculty to concentrate and to focus, of course I will have a problem within my mediumship. So I need to use or create moments where I start without the world of spirit to start focusing myself and to learn how to be focused and concentrated, you know? I'm saying that so easily now after 22 years of oh my God, swearing and wanting to run away and the spirit world and why do I do this? Why do I do that? But the more I come into my clarity and the clarity of the world of spirit, the more I know, the more I am focused, the more I am here, the more I create the moment for the spirit world to manifest through me. And people, when I hear people say, well, the spirit world needs to do this, the spirit world needs to teach me that, it's not always the spirit world. We can do a lot of things without the world of spirit that then help within the work with the spirit. But I believe we still have a lot of personal responsibility within this process, you see?
No, it makes perfect sense. I know that we have, regardless of where we're at, if we get up on that platform and we present, it's like any other performer, you show who you are. You show where you're at. It comes out in subtle ways, abstract ways, but yeah. You are authentically you. Whether you think you're there or not, you're still there. You're still a part of the process.
And there you come into a really important aspect. When you show yourself, it is not just you and your connection. You're showing the world what mediumship is, generally. We are measured by those they see. You see? If people come to an evening of clairvoyance, or I rather say an evening of mediumship, because not every medium is a clairvoyant. Therefore, evening of clairvoyance is not really, it doesn't, it's not precise enough for me. So evening of mediumship, okay, or active mental mediumship. When they come for the first time, the impression I will give them through my mediumship, through my work, they will carry into the world, to their friends and so on. And that's a huge, I mean, come on, Kathleen. We are not like presenters that have a PowerPoint presentation and say, okay, on slide one, you have mom who had cancer and so on. You cannot prepare your mediumship. Mediumship is created in that very moment you stand up and you present it. This is brutal. And in that moment, you will be judged. You will be judged. You will create an impression that people from the outside will take into the world. And the trouble is they then not just say, oh, that is David mediumship. They say, oh, mediumship. If that's mediumship, or wow, if that's mediumship, you know, one person makes it. So if we go into the public, we're not making it for ourselves. We are making it for all of us, you know?
Yeah, because some people go to a medium once and never again. And so they leave with whatever perception their experience held.
Absolutely. And I think we have to be aware of that. We need, or it is nice to, you see, it's a bit of a difficult one, because in a way I don't want mediums to break underneath that pressure. Oh my God, I need to be extraordinary too. I don't want to implicate that at all. But I believe we need to be trained as soon, especially if we are presenting it to the public, that our worst day is still good enough. You know, good enough. Because I know you as the medium, and I know you know that. I know it, definitely. I know when I had the flyer of a demonstration, and I know when I was just scratching the surface. I know it. So I know others know it.
We're hard on ourselves, aren't we? We're many of us anyway.
Well, yes, I can relate to that one. I mean, I've been brought up in a system where perfection and you know, it's like that German attitude of and you have to, and good is never good enough. It's not about that, but in a way it's like you owe it to yourself to say, I have such an understanding for my mediumship and what I want to like, what I would like to present to the world, that on my worst day, I still know I am still good enough, you know? And then when you know that, you reflect back and say, okay, David, let go, move on. Next demonstration. It's okay. I think it's okay.
There's so much that you brought up in all of this. One of the things I want to kind of go back to is a thought that came through my head about immersing ourselves. You said it's not just clairvoyance, right? So do you have the experience when you're doing mental mediumship that you're completely immersed in a field of energy?
Okay.
Tell us a little more about your personal experience.
I love your questions. Honestly, you have fabulous questions. And I want to point out here, me, this is just an opinion, okay? Yeah. And I know other people might not think the same or teach the same or speak about the same. This is my finding, what I am sharing here with you today. And I also say, I allow myself to grow eternally. That means that I might say something that I'm very convinced today.
Yes.
But tomorrow, depending on the experience I will have in life and with my mediumship and with my peers and with my students, that might easily change, you see? So I am, even if I teach it, I know what I teach. I believe I have a foundation about that. Yes, now I know I have a foundation. I've worked hard for it to have that reason. But I also allow myself to be open with it. Now, coming back to your question, do you believe, David, that spirit world is the mental aspect or immersing yourself into it? I tell you, for me, mediumship is much more than just mind to mind. Mediumship is a power, is a presence. And if you are allowing yourself to really step into that moment where you become truly one with a spirit contact, then you become them. You feel their presence. But also what is interesting, the whole congregation will be touched by the presence. And I'm not saying names because that might be biased, but let me explain that what I have experienced. I sat in a demonstration as one of the audience, and the medium was working and working and working, starting to build that contact, and didn't even ask, can anybody understand that, or said, I'm with you or with you. That person was just immersed within the power. You could see it. And then all of a sudden, while the medium was just speaking and speaking, and normally we say after three or five, maximum five information, you should find your recipient. He didn't care. He just went on. He was so within it. And all of a sudden behind me, a lady said, oh my God, this is my mom. Kathleen, that was such a moment for me where I said, this is the mediumship I would want to present to the world, where I can become so much one with someone who has such a need to once more be together with their child or partner or whoever, that I in my own personality cease to exist and I allow them to manifest so strongly that a person just says, oh my God, this is mine.
Without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt.
Right. There was none. And you know, I heard it, the people, and you could see who that mom was. You know, you could feel the mom, even though the mom wasn't yours. That was incredible. It wasn't just information. It was like, I went to this lady and said, thank you so much for allowing me to be part of that very intimate and personal moment. That's what I want to stretch here. Actually, mediumship and the demonstration of mediumship where we witness is a very personal and intimate moment of two people. Mm-hmm. And I get a bit upset if then all of a sudden people start to have a chat with each other or, oh, this is not for me, therefore I'm not really focused now. Because in a way, hey, this is magic. Kathleen, for me, this is magic. When two people come together, and I have the privilege to be part of who this person was in relation to that recipient, I think this is magic.
Well, David, this is a beautiful example. I love it. One of the things that I have seen and witnessed is those few moments when there's been a medium up there that has that intimate moment, but they only have it with a sitter. And what I love about what you're saying is that and that's when other people start chatting because they're bored, right? They can't relate. Sure. They don't feel it. They're not part of it. But you can include, you can pull in the relatability of everyone in your space.
Absolutely.
That healing experience, right?
Absolutely.
Through that, bringing it to life. So it's really important that sitting in the power thing. Because I know when I first encountered it, wasn't a vocabulary we used here. We called it meditation. Yeah. But once it changed to the vocabulary of sitting in the power, it changed the way I found that space and found the divine and found access to the spirit. And the spirit started coming in differently. There's more sophistication. There was more of that thing that you're talking about where you're getting the fullness of the person. And it was just changing that vocabulary. But somehow in my mind, that made such a huge difference. And I found that by doing that, my evidence was just there. And this is something, like you said, one, two, three, after three pieces of evidence or after five pieces of evidence, you know, name, date, serial number, or whatever the expectation is, you don't need to look at that anymore because you're so much listening to the power of the spirit that's talking to you or letting you feel themselves or however they bring that through, that, you know, the evidence arrives. It just arrives. So what is your take on how evidence integrates into this and the importance of it and what the value of evidence is for you?
For me, it's very important. Evidence is really important. But I say
it's a discussion that goes around.
No, it is. It is because you see, you touched upon so many aspects, the sitting in power and so on and the evidence. Let's look at the evidence. Fact is, even nowadays, 21st century, mediumship is not a proven fact. Scientifically, it is not. It is still opinion. It is still kind of belief. And when we look at the traditional definition of mediumship, then mediumship is actually only a tool to prove life everlasting. You know, we have come away from what is the purpose of mediumship? Today it's about be the oracle. Tell me which car I shall buy. Tell me what husband I should choose, or is there someone or not? Who should I divorce or this and that? We are asking questions. But actually, when you look at the core element of mediumship, mediumship is the tool to prove life everlasting, that actually our consciousness with all the memories, everything that we are, exists beyond that moment of death. So we have to look back into the past. The past was brutal. Someone who said they spoke with angels was either burned on the stake or later on carted off into how is it called, a place where you just put insane people, or you were classed as, you said, asylums. That's the one. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now look at that evidence that they had in the past with materialization, physical mediumship. They needed this. They could not just rely on the mental aspect of mediumship. They would have all been carted into asylums and said,
right.
Loopy, go, Loopy, go.
Right.
Loopy. They needed that physical element that they were safer than you would have been in the mental. Today, I see, and I don't exclude myself. I'm still trying to progress as a medium, okay? I'm not there. I'm not advanced yet. I don't believe in advanced students yet. There is always more, okay? So that's why I say that. Maybe I just discredited myself, but I don't believe in advanced. I tell you what, in a minute, what I feel is an advanced medium, okay? So in a way, when we come at evidence is that part where people come from belief in trusting what we are doing and knowing that the afterlife is real. It is, and today we have slipped back into belief. We have a lot of belief, but we lack the supportive evidence to prove, is that true or not? So in mental mediumship, the demonstrations of private readings, we bring that body of evidence. Body of evidence is actually points of validation that the recipient knows, oh, the medium has my mom, my dad, my child, with no doubt. That's the interesting one, with no doubt. It is still personal. Evidence will always remain personal. For one person, what they hear and witness as evidence say, yeah, but that wasn't really good, was it? It wasn't really evidential, was it? And for the one who receives it says, do you know it was? So let me give an example. For example, I say lilies, white lilies at the funeral. Come on, Kathleen. Who hasn't got white lilies? Okay. So I do my demonstration and then I see that coffin with thousands of white lilies, and I'm standing there analyzing my own mediumship in that moment where I should actually do it. Well done, David. Perfect mediumship. Okay.
Right,
you're
right.
Not really in the power. You're analyzing your work, therefore you are not in the power. And then I said, but I can't say that. That is just so general. And then it came back and back and back. I was like, wow, let's say. Like white lilies, I see thousands of them. Thank you very much, Evie. I don't need any more information.
Right.
And as an observer, as an assessor, for example, if I heard something like that, I would say, hey, Kathleen, how many lilies are at funerals? I would judge it as, yeah, that's not very evidential. But for the listening ear, in the context that is provided, it's absolute evidential. So we have to have a body of evidence, because otherwise, and that I explain it always that way. Say, for example, Kathleen, you're walking down the street. Say Manhattan, okay? You walk there. And then all of a sudden, someone comes and says, hey, Kathleen, I hear your mom say you should do this and this, and you come to me to the next cash machine and give me £1,000 or dollars or whatsoever. Well, how would you react? You would, I think, would you really go and trust this person who has allegedly mom and you give $1,000? Or would you say, hang on a minute, you just proved me first that you have my mom. And then even if you had my mom, I will reconsider and think about if I want to bring you the $1,000. You would do that, wouldn't you?
I'd definitely give it some thought.
Well, yes. But then all of a sudden, if it's mediumship, we can just all of a sudden we become so very receptive, you know? So, oh, I was told that. Yeah, but where is your validation point? And we have to acknowledge people who seek the medium, I did look for a medium in a moment of absolute vulnerability. When I went to the medium, I remember my life was at a low point. I would have taken everything, Kathleen, everything. And I think of myself to be an intelligent person, which I am not, I have to say. I am not. There are moments where I'm so within emotions, or there were moments where I was so lost that I lost all rational, okay? I know, I've been there. And then people often say, how could they be so stupid to get there? Yeah, if you get there yourself, you know how that can happen, because the life implodes, okay? So then people come and they need help. I needed help. I would have taken and accepted everything without proof because I was so desperate. So you can see here, as a medium, when are people coming to you? When are normally rational people who are quite settled and solid and stable in their life seeking the help of a medium? There must be something that has happened that shook life. So they're vulnerable. Okay? And here comes evidence that we want to prove first, that we know what I am aware of is solid and real. Therefore, if I stayed in the power and I would listen to mom, what mom would have to say in this situation to her boy or daughter, for example, then because I gave the evidence, I could say, all right, there is a likeliness that her message will be true as well, with the slight possibility that the medium was still wrong.
Intriguing.
Okay. So here in the UK, evidence-based mediumship is absolutely wanted, needed, looked for, because you as a medium, you still have one job to do, to prove the afterlife. It's not your job to actually give the messages of what do you need to do. Are you looking for a new job? A new job will come, and so on and so on. Actually, the message, and that is Stephen Upton who said that, not me. Actually, when we come to the part of the message should be, hey, your mom is still alive. Hmm. That should be enough. You see, that should be enough message for the person to say, oh, my mom is still alive, and she's still part of my life. Therefore, I will never be on my own. That's the message.
What you're saying about the lilies, I tend to feel that way often when I hear them say they're sending you a whole lot of love. You know, they're sending me the love. I'm supposed to tell you that. And I just sometimes feel like I do about the lilies, you know, but then I realize when I actually come forth and give what I'm receiving, then yes, it touches that person because they need to hear it again, or they need to be
absolutely reminded. I will always say that. I will always say love. But I also realize, and this is going back to the beginning of what we were speak about, sometimes I have these blind spots within myself that I don't really allow myself to go really into the depth of the message. So I'm not saying this is about you here, but it's a nice example. There was a moment where I only had grandmas.
Okay, yeah.
Well, grandmas are easy because normally grandmas have lived a long life. And with grandmas, it was okay when they died. You know? So it's nice to be within the grandma generation or grandparents generation, because people have an understanding. They should have died when they died. Even though it broke the heart, it was a bit understandable that happened. But then I could say I'm very fearful of children, to give children to a medium. For example, I always use my own example, which I have looked at just that weekend. Someone forced me to look behind the scene. It's like, well, I'm not a dad, but I know the loss, how it feels to lose a child. I'm not a dad, but I know the loss. And then I think, how can I represent that child-mom connection if I don't understand children? Mm-hmm. You know, a personality of a child. How can a toddler have personality? How can a four-week-old baby have already personality or individuality? And you, as the mom, you would say, of course they have, David, of course. But because within my experience, I don't know about that. I not only had no child, I didn't have two children. I don't have kind of that knowledge within my experience. Does that make sense? And then my brain creates a fear and says, you're well, because you haven't got the knowledge, you cannot represent them. So therefore I come out of the power, and there we have the sitting in the power again, where I say, I use this practice to say, hey, people from the world of spirit, help me to gain an access to children as well. Because if there are moms in the audience, or if a mom comes for a private reading, I would like to be aware of that. And not become unaware, because fear prevents that access to that power. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
So I'm back into my self-reflection. Where in the world do I have a problem? With what kind of people do I have a problem? And I could say suicide, if I have a problem with suicide, if I had a problem with gay people, for example. If I had unconscious bias against race, I don't know. You know, we don't know what we carry till we look at it.
I was just going to say about our awareness, it brings us back to how important it is as mediums to know our human biases, our own filters, our own awarenesses. Yes. And
you see, this has nothing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And it has nothing to do in being ignorant or racist or for example, I like to push the boundary a little bit. Okay, Kathleen, I'm sorry. But I also looked into my own friendship circle. How many different friends do I have? Are they all white Caucasians? You know? And then all of a sudden I say, yes, but actually it's true. When I look into my relationships, my circles of friends, not that this is conscious, but I know subconsciously there must be something that doesn't allow that togetherness or that interaction, maybe. And then I come back to where we started, and it's so beautiful. I come back to where we started. Process of myself. I need to look behind my own fears or subconscious learnings. I mean, we all grew up in a system that said this or that. And then the sitting in the power, as you have said, is absolutely the right exercise to go back into that hold of the spirit and say, help me, help me. How can I reduce this fear? How can I open this channel for everyone, you see? Sorry, I interrupted you before.
Yeah, that's a lovely, lovely point. It brings us to the fact that, you know, in this society today, they're trying to bring a lot of awareness forward, you know, about gender biases and cultural biases, race bias, all that. And, you know, I've asked myself the same question, because I've noticed the same thing. It's not that I'm deliberately choosing, you know, certain types of people, but you resonate with certain people.
Absolutely.
As a human, or the things you have something in common with, what you enjoy or whatever that is, and who's in your proximity is very often who you would gravitate or select your friendships from. So I love, David, that you're mentioning that we can push ourselves, that we can stretch ourselves beyond what we have as unconscious limits, not just conscious limits, but unconscious limits. And I love the way you said, you know, we want to open this channel for everyone, because spirit is there for everyone.
Absolutely.
I want to share a really fun story with you. I don't tend to be the medium. I don't appreciate that. When we walk down the street, like you had mentioned earlier, you grab somebody on the street. It's like, oh, I see your mom with you. And you start giving a message, because I feel like it's a more of a sacred exchange. Like you said, they can be vulnerable. Why would I do that to somebody in a grocery store? So what happened the one time I was doing a demonstration, I was in a school setting, it was a high school setting. So I was in a classroom and there were people that I was delivering messages to, and I got this spirit come through and no one understood who they were. And then we heard a broom drop in the hallway. So I'm like, oh, that's where it belongs. And so I walked out into the hallway and excused myself for a moment because I thought this person really wants to get through. They weren't letting me go. We ended up pulling in the woman from the hallway. And I presented myself very gracefully because I'd never done that before. Very gracefully, would you be willing? And she was all open to it. She came in and all this evidence came for pouring forward. This person that wanted to come from the spirit world really wanted to be there, right? And I bust through my own limit. Like I wasn't deliberately doing that, but there was that sense that I will never do that. I will never do mediumship without being invited. And I guess in a way, spirit invited me. But it was fascinating because if I listen and follow spirit, they're going to lead me where I need to be. And yet I can't blame, I
Absolutely.
still have to be responsible. I can't blame spirit for not finding a parking spot. So when we talk about spirit and the spirit world, what does that mean to you? What is our responsibility to spirit? And what would you like to say about that?
First of all, I struggle a little bit with this question because I know we need rules and regulations, but yet when we walk and talk in the power of spirit, and let's be honest, when you walk and talk in the power of spirit, you're walking and talking in the power of God. That's what people don't realize because the spirit world is part of the God force, okay? It's beautiful. It's honestly, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. So I have a bit of an issue sometimes because the world becomes very rigid, what you are allowed to do and what not. But the power that we work with is, if properly worked with, ha has the power to change lives, has the power to change the world, okay? And now we human beings come and say, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, and so on. We are limiting a limitless force that is actually so creative that human mind will never be able to grasp what is actually able to be achieved with it, you see? So, and I love what you said. You did it respectfully. You walked in the power because it's funny because you spoke about the power. That's what you did in this school, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess I did.
And it doesn't astonish me because when you speak about the power, when you speak about the spirit, of course they are drawn into. That's different. When you speak about it, you are opening your power, your energy to the force to come close. And therefore, it doesn't astonish me that all of a sudden the power was used to give and bring that message to that person outside. And you were listening to that force that was with you because people were speaking about it. So it was already created. When we speak about create the energy, create the atmosphere, well, you have just given us the access how to do that in speaking, thinking spirit, we draw them in. So therefore I know that the intelligence will always use the moment as they see fit. Where I have a problem is for sensationalism. There I have a problem for effect. I don't like that. Honestly, I don't like that. And I'm not mentioning anything, but I know some of you have those shows in mind. How dare you come up to me and you give me, for example, a contact from my grandfather? You don't know my relationship with my grandfather, and maybe that was not a nice man, and this would be maybe the last person I would be willing to hear from. But then we could say, yeah, but spirit wanted to talk. Wait a minute. I have rights as well as a human being. I should have the right to say yes or no to a communication. And in that sense, to just approach someone and say, hey, by the way, you are taking that choice away. And this is privacy. And I have a problem with stepping over someone's boundaries. And especially if it's misused for sensationalism. then, because as you could tell, I love the spirit world. I love the work with the spirit world. But I am always very, very aware where is my responsibility within it and its presentation. But then, for example, it's a nice, it's not mine. I just had access to fabulous mediums. If you have old mediums and access to them, ask them, record them, write notes of their stories. Honestly, they are dying out. It's really Lea Bond is also a teacher, well-established teacher at the Art Finley College. And she knew Albert Best. Albert Best was classed as one of the best mediums, okay, in his time. Okay, we always hear about Gordon Hickinson, but there was Albert Best. There were also Ursula Roberts. There were many, many great mediums back then, okay? And she out, we had a discussion. She said, you know, I was driving with Albert Best, and then all of a sudden he said, Leah, stop the car on a country road. And he said, stop the car. And she was like, what, in the middle of nowhere? I'm not stopping a car in the middle of nowhere. Stop the car. Spirit has told me, stop the car. So they stopped the car. He went outside. He brought a man to the car that needed help and hospital. Yeah, this is wow. This is for me, wow, to hear such a story is like, what? And that is because he was so attuned to the power of, and I said to the power of God, that he heard the disciples of God, which are the spirit world, okay, the angels, whoever that is, to say, hey, stop, here is someone who needs help. Of course, I can have an awareness. I can listen, you and I, we can, and this is Gordon Hickinson, okay? I only recite because I've made my findings. Yes, I've grew as a medium and I find these. Now I said droplets of God, which comes from Mavis Patillo, okay? Credit where credit belongs to, okay? But I use those citations because I digested it and I understand why they say what they say, you see?
Resonates with
So,
consciousness.
yes, and then I say it is. Now I lost my track. Isn't that lovely? For in awe with all those wonderful, wonderful people in salutation. But you use then something and you say, okay, wow, this is why Gordon Hickinson said this. This is why Albert Best said that. This is why Mavis taught that. It is because you make your own experience and then all of a sudden you relate. And when you hear or look at Gordon Hickinson, he not only says that it's about the mediumship or the evidence, it is the moment you create when you go into that power. And now it's coming back. Because he also said, you can live 24 hours, 365 days a year, your whole life in the love of God. But you should not be all the times in the power of spirit because your physical body is not made for that. But if you want to walk in the power of God, then you can. Can you see where there is a difference?
We can see the difference, yeah.
And that's why I say, okay, after 22 years, now I understand what he meant with that. I understand, and I come back and reinforce a little bit that what you asked me, do you believe it's mental that spirit works, or is it the whole? And I say it's the whole because when I then read Gordon Hickinson's biography, On the Other Side with Angels, if someone wants to read it, beautiful. He said it's not the moment, it's not just what you say within a private reading, but the atmosphere that you create within that moment where the spirit can touch. And now I come back to your initial thing with healing. I said, it comes from spirit, through spirit, to spirit. And when we look at the private reading environment, Catholic. I find it fascinating.
I can
I
see
find it
that.
really,
I'm right there with
really,
you. Yeah.
no, really. And when you look at that, when you are in the private environment with your citta, you attune with your spirit to the spirit world. You create this atmosphere, which you did when you spoke in this school, and the power starts to build. And it not only touches your power, it touches the spirit of your recipient as well. And behind the scenes, the spirit can come close and give you that hug on an energetic level that you actually would want to feel again and not the evidence. Can you see?
Yeah.
And he says, even if it's a bad reading, if you have created the perfect moment for an atmosphere to be created where the spirit has a possibility to touch the spirit of your recipient, you did your job.
I love that you're using the word creative. This is something that's been on my mind a lot lately. It was given to me through spirit support, God, you know, that moment of reaching out saying, hey, where do I go with this on something that was going on for me? And I heard, you've got the creative power for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that is a gift we're all given.
Yeah.
That we're always in touch with that. So when we can generate that within ourselves and keep that a clear channel, then obviously we can have the greater opportunity to come forward with that.
My advice to every listener is actually find your access to your own God. That's what I'm saying here. This is my journey. Find your access to your own God, and then you fly.
Yeah, I actually had one of my friends had said to me at one point, why are you taking another class? You're already a medium. And, you know, it made me stop and think. It's like, well, why not? Was the first thought, you know, it's like, because it's fun, mm-hmm. because I love doing this work and gets me in touch with it. But what you just said is part of the ringing true. It puts me back in that space where, regardless of what the person's teaching or giving us an opportunity to experience, I'm still going to be in my personal experience, and I'm still going to have that opportunity to sit in the mm-hmm. power of the divine, the God, to feel that access that I have within me that is always consistent mm-hmm. with God, and amplify that in a safe environment to amplify that in and bring it forward. Yeah.
Because it is a very vulnerable position. I mean, I can say that from myself. I mean, I'm a tutor at the Alpha Finley College. I did this and this and this and this. But I should be allowed to grow much more. I should be allowed to go back into a classroom with other students and say, hey, I need to grow myself and to grow in a safe environment. It would be nice to have that group. Now I just do it while I am demonstrating where I find my ease and laugh for myself, that I say, you know what, every time I stand up and I allow myself to grow. So I'm not playing safe anymore, because I could. Mm-hmm. I did. There was a moment where I said, oh, I'm standing in front of people, I need to be good, it needs to come over. It really took away the joy of my mediumship. My mediumship started to be blunt or boring. And what I love with mediumship, as you said, you can learn always something. You know, it is so interesting. So far in 22 years, I am not bored about mediumship. Give me a job. After 6 months, I feel bored, you know?
Yeah, once you know it and you're executing, it's like, now what?
Well, exactly. You might not be perfect in how you execute it, but you still feel bored by it. You know what I mean? And with spirit, it should never be bored. It should always work. And the moment where I said to myself, do you know what? I allow myself to grow. I allow myself to receive a no, even on the platform. Even if all my students that I teach the next day see how I go maybe down with the shit, I want to grow. This is my pathway. This is my journey. I share my journey. I share my knowledge. But what I expect people to accept, I want to grow. We cannot be spiritualists in denying anybody eternal progress. And so teachers and students should eternally progress to become the best that they can till that moment, we make our transition. And this is what I want.
I want to pull out just a little thing you said there that you said, if you go down with the ship. So I wanted to acknowledge the reality of being a medium, that sometimes we'll get up there, and no matter how much we feel we have someone that is legitimate and we have all the evidence and the information, it may not be received. And so there's that human aspect of the ego that's just like, oh my God, I'm not getting, you know, I'm not getting my yeses. And yet there's that really professional, trained, and experienced person that trusts in spirit that says, and you did what you came here to do, right? You're, as you know, as checking in with yourself. What I wanted to ask you is there something you can give advice to other mediums, especially starting up meetings, you coming full circle to what you said before about knowing how to stand in front of people and being brave and confident in that? Is there something you could say to help them understand those softer moments when things don't go as you hope they do?
First of all, these soft moments will always come, okay? It doesn't matter how professional you are. It doesn't matter how good you are as a medium. There will always be a moment where you might just feel, oh, that was rubbish. It will always come. But I believe what I can give them is, and that's a difficult one. There we are within personal development. It's like, if you can tell yourself, I did the best that I could do in that very moment, then be proud of you. Take it as an experience. With only good experiences, you will never learn. You will never push your mediumship or yourself to higher standards. So you need to push yourself. You need to allow yourself to be wrong. And what helped me the most in my own development, because I was so fearful about active mental mediumship and its communication. I was so fearful, honestly. The moment I acknowledged the yes as okay, but I embraced the no and was looking for a no rather for a yes answer, then I started to achieve brilliant moments. Because a no is always an opportunity to become better. So if I am able, or if the students are able to have a different attitude to a no and say, you are my friend because you helped me to get the gold dust, which the yes will never do. It will never give you good the gold dust, the yes. But the no's is the one that provides the opportunity for you to become brilliant. And as soon as I embraced the no, I got the yeses. But it is take a leap of faith, but know where you are, know your mediumship, be honest with yourself, know when you are good, know when you are not good. And if you don't know when you are, then learn to know and acknowledge when you are and when you are not. So this is how I teach, you see. Self-empowerment. People need to know where they are. They don't need me, the tutor, always by their side to say, oh, that was really good, wasn't it? They should learn to realize when they are good, and they should also be able to say that wasn't, and I know why. And I think then we have magic again. I hope that helps.
Totally helps. I love what you've brought forward for us today, David. I feel like I can talk to you forever. I really want to keep talking. All these ideas are coming in my head. And yet at the same time, I know people have other things they may want to do at some point.
Thank you so much. I was told I should become a bit more concise. I never am able to be concise because it's just too fascinating, the whole thing.
That's a theme that seems to be running through with my conversation with you. And I resonate with it completely, the fascination. You know, when you work in this, do you call it a vocation, or do you call it a profession, or what do you call a calling? What do you call the mediumship?
Well, it's a difficult one because I'm a full-time medium. I decided I want to be. It's also a profession, so I cannot just be so ignorant and say I just do it for the world of spirit and the love for spirit. Of course, I have that, but I also need to earn a living and I need to pay my bills. Okay. So yes, it is a profession, but in how I do it, it's a vocation. It is a passion. But I also accept the rational side of it, where I, for me, my journey as David, and I'm talking about me, I cannot live all the time within the fear not knowing how to pay the next bill. I cannot. It would destroy me. And I find this needs to be acknowledged. We are living in a material world. We need, it's about balance. I'm all about balance. Giving and taking needs somehow to be in balance. But it's a vocation, it's a passion. I love doing it. And it would be a shame if I couldn't create enough for my living that I would have to step away from it to find a normal job to pay my bills. So it is all of it. I have to say, it is all of it.
I like how you bring it all together like that, because I see the truth in that for sure. Thank you so much. I have seen, as I was about to say, the fascination that you bring to your work, the joy. And I think that's something I just want to touch 2 seconds on, is just that idea that spirit's there for joy, right? I mean, I experience it all the time. I have the smile just beaming on my face when I'm doing it half the time, because there's so much joy and love coming.
Yeah, but you know what it is? And there we come back to evidence just quickly, because I know you need to, you have a life as well, you know? What it is what we prove is intelligence, okay? That's what we actually want to prove with those evidential information. And with everything that I said, with all those citations from all those great mediums, and with your own findings, I am fascinated by the spirit world because they're so intelligent. I could not, Kathleen, I could not create a moment like this with my rational, analytical, logical mind. It would not work. I am in awe about that fascinating intelligence that we are allowed to tap into. And we can only allow that to prosper if we allow our ego to step away for a moment and allow that intelligence to take place and manifestation in this world. I am in awe about the intelligence of spirit world. That is really what fascinates me. They're intelligent. The evidence they bring, it is not just because they like to talk about it. It is intelligent. There is always a reason why someone talks about something. That's what I love. Okay.
Thank you, David. Yeah. So how do people get a hold of you? Is there any kind of event or thing you're doing maybe online for our listeners here in the US and Canada? How do we get a hold of you?
That's a bit of a blind spot here you're touching, because my website is really underworked. I have to say, the best thing is really to write to me and not to be too impatient if I'm not quickly respond. I'm really badly organized. I for next year, I really promise myself, my courses will be on my website. Facebook, even though the young generation already says that Facebook is only for old people, I post a lot of my courses or where I will be on my Facebook, and a little bit Instagram, but even that one is a struggle. So I try to do my best. Write to me if you want to know something, and then, yeah. And Arthur Findlay College, of course, where I teach, and that's it.
What is the URL for your website?
Oh, that's blendingmind.com. www.blendingmind.com.
Excellent.
So you don't have to struggle with my name, you know, surname.
Yeah, you'd probably have to buy up all the domains of all the different ways to spell your name if you actually did that.
We don't do this. Either they find me or not, there is a reason. No, but yes, that's how you find me. And if you need to find me, you will find me anyway somehow. Okay. But
well,
thank
this
you
has
so
been
much.
Delightful. I'm so grateful, and I really look forward to meeting you in person. in the near
Me
future.
too.
That would be awesome. I'd love
Me
that.
too. Would be lovely, lovely, lovely.
Well,
Yes.
thank you. So, listeners and viewers, please check out blendingmind.com and find out where things are happening in the world with David. And I invite you to join us again in 2 weeks because we have another Mediums Porch coming up in 2 weeks with a different special guest. And you can find us on Facebook page, Lilytail Assembly Inc., where we'll be streaming this. You can join us on the audio, which will be posted at the Blog Talk Radio / Lilydale Radio. And I hope we get to an opportunity to see you soon. You can check out my stuff on my page. I'm doing some classes, etc. I send you all blessings and thank you for joining David and me today. We've had a lovely time together and perhaps we'll do it again. I would love that.
Hopefully, hopefully.
Blessings, everyone. Be well.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Lovely.